This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and into what stuff means, and help listeners understand why they should maybe give a crap. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his great team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. A whole bunch of startups have, through the years, tried to crack the restaurant and bar business with a digital out-of-home advertising model that saw them put in screens and media players, hoping to claw back the costs and more through advertising. And a whole bunch of them, most of them in fact, have failed. Advertising, to put it very simply, is hard. So I was intrigued by a three-year-old Chicago company called Upshow that is doing user-generated content and digital signage in bars and making a go of it on a subscription basis with no third-party advertising, at least not for now. The bar owners, from small ones all the way up to chains like TGI Fridays and Hooters, actually pay money month to month for the service. The owner-operators like that Upshow's content is fresh and human-moderated and that customers are engaged. They also like that it's selling more drinks and specials and generating return business. I spoke with Matt Gibbs, the company's CMO and one of its co-founders. So Matt, tell me about Upshow. I bumped into this a couple of weeks ago, was intrigued, and up until now really hadn't heard of you guys.
Sure. So Upshow is a social TV platform that transforms the TVs at a business into customized marketing and entertainment screens that are built to generate revenue. It gives the business total control of the content on their TVs, and it drives more customer-generated social media posts than ever before. Upshow really, it really becomes the reason
you're that doing customers... You're doing your pitch.
Oh, I do this all day, every day, and you're going to see how excited I'm about to get as I get going.
Okay.
But the best part is you know, Upshow becomes the reason that customers look up from their phones and up at the TVs within the venue. Because, Dave, if you think about whether you're in a hamburger shop or a gym, you pretty quickly ignore the random sports game or the daytime TV show that's probably on mute on the TVs.
Yep.
And Upshow changes all of that for a business. We open their eyes to think beyond cable, because so many businesses, they put a flat screen on the wall because it's cheap and it looks cool, but they don't necessarily think, wow, there could be something else besides cable I could put on there. Mm-hmm. And there's three key ways that our platform really brings social television to life for these partners. And the first one is customer engagement, which is probably something you noticed in doing some research. The second one is digital signage, which will be very obvious to you, of course. And the third is entertainment and games. And with customer engagement, we call it the Jumbotron effect. So customers within a venue, they can pull out their phone, post on Instagram or Twitter, use the venue's hashtag, and then within a minute, they're going to see that content right up on the TVs inside the venue. And this creates kind of a joyous, oh my gosh, look at me, I'm on TV, 15 seconds of fame for the consumer. And the thing that's cool about it is it's also contagious, right? So if I'm at TGI Fridays and I post on Instagram or Twitter with my wife and I use the right hashtag and I see myself on the TVs there, I'm going to be pointing at the TV saying, oh my gosh, look, there we are. And then other people around us are going to see, hey, there's them, they're on TV. And then before you know it, five more people that all have thousands of followers on social media just posted inside that TGI Fridays promoting where they're having dinner, where they're having drinks, happy hour, whatever it is. That becomes more and more free word of mouth marketing for TGI Fridays. So that's the core fun part of our business that our customers just love, because it puts social media marketing and word of mouth on autopilot, essentially.
So you have people in a venue having a bunch of drinks and realizing, oh, I can put messages up on a screen here. How do you moderate that so it doesn't become a mess really quickly?
Great question. That's probably the first question that we get whenever we're in any sort of a pitch. And we've actually developed one of the largest content moderation partnerships with Amazon. So all of our content is moderated in real time by a human in North America to make sure that there's no guns, drugs, nudity, profanity, etc. Okay. So it's essentially, we call it safer network TV is the broad way to say it. And if it checks all those boxes, our system will know to send it up to the TV inside of that venue.
Okay, so it's not incumbent on the venue operator to do that because they're kind of busy.
Right, because you've probably seen there's been other platforms in the past 5 or so years that are trying to put social media content on screens inside of a venue. Yeah. But that's the biggest hiccup, is because venues love it, but they don't have a social media manager, especially whether you're Joe's Pub or your Crunch Fitness. Even if you do have the social media manager, you don't have somebody that has time in real time to be approving content. So we've solved for that by building a real-time moderation partnership with Amazon.
Now, I'm not familiar with that, but is that what they used to call Mechanical Turk?
You got it. Okay. So it's exactly built through the Amazon Turk. There's a whole world of people that are content moderators.
Oh, all right. And are there service level agreements or whatever? Because I would imagine there's the odd time something slips through.
Of course. Yeah, so we've got everything. We've got every fail-safe in place. We've learned a lot over the last 3 years
in doing this,
especially since, so when we launched 3 years ago, the majority of our customers, we're here in Chicago, were bars. And so when you get the college bars versus the classier bar, after about midnight, you get the drunk guy who's going to try to challenge what he wants to get on screen. And you can imagine what he's trying to get on there. So we've learned all the requirements to prevent anything bad from happening, because we went from bars and restaurants to then places like Navy Pier or like family friendly environments or bowling alleys, where if there were to be something inappropriate on the screen, like it's game over and we can't have that.
Right. There have been some struggles with using social media platforms just because of the platforms themselves changing their APIs. The most recent one was Instagram changing things around and making it more and more difficult for people to work with it. How do you stay on top of that?
Yeah, I mean, we stay on top of it by having a close partnership with Instagram, just to be aware of what's coming up and when and how it's going to impact our business. And for us, it's also just continuing to innovate beyond the content that might come from Instagram or Twitter. One thing that I'm really excited about for our entertainment and games part of the platform is we're pioneering what we call BYOD, so bring your own device. So if our customers are going to launch our trivia or any of our games, they don't have to invest upfront in expensive hardware or tablets. All a customer has to do to engage or to play trivia is pull out their phone, go to a custom URL, and boom, they're right there in the game playing with all the other people inside of that venue or across the Upshow network. So for us, it's just thinking beyond the obvious social media platforms. How can we drive more in-venue engagement? Because for our customers, if we get more people looking at the screens, that means more people are then going to see the spotlight marketing ad that might say $2 Bud Light, or try out our new pub burger, or whatever it is, because we get people hooked on looking at the screens, whether they want to see their social content, they want to play trivia, they want to watch the latest highlight video, and then our partners can serve the right messages they want their customers to see.
Mm-hmm. And it's your premise that people are going to be far more interested in stuff that's either about them specifically, or their friends, or just what's going on in that place versus, I don't know, there are companies that curate social media videos from YouTube and Vimeo and so on. Other ones that, you know, have their own approach to what's on those screens.
You got it. Yeah. And for us, it's all about hyperlocal. So we give our partners all of the control. So they have total control of what the content on their screens is going to be. So if they want it to be a mix of customer generated content, they want to have a little bit of marketing ads, they want to have trivia. We've also partnered with, similar to what you said, Pluto TV. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they're the leader in the cut the cord sort of free TV-like programming movement. And we've partnered with them so our customers can also add any of the Pluto channels they want to their screen. So it could be, you could have sports highlights, you could have news, you could have viral videos, you could have Fail Army TV, whatever people want. So our customers can have that perfect mix of what they want on their TVs. And best of all, it guarantees you're not going to have an ad for the competitor, especially in the fitness space too, right? If you're just playing daytime TV, there's a good chance you could have the ad for the competing gym while you're actually at the other gym. And so we make it so that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Have you done much in the way of research that kind of shows the effectiveness of what you're doing versus, let's say, just running cable TV in there?
Yeah, absolutely. And the way we've been doing it is through our digital signage part of our platform, because we know that the TVs inside of the venue are kind of the number one marketing resource just because the eyeballs are on the TVs. So we've actually proven with different customers that we proved a 15% lift in a specific in sales of a specific menu item just because they were consistently promoting it through our TV. We also proved a 12% lift in a specific beer being sold at a network of bars because they were promoting that beer as a special throughout on our platform. So we have all sorts of best practices for all of our partners that we share with them on how to get the most of it. Because again, this is going to be the reason that people aren't ignoring their TVs, and they need to take advantage of that by promoting the things that are going to drive more sales for them.
Mm-hmm. So let's back up a little bit. How did this business get started?
Sure. So we launched 3 years ago, and before that, my partner and I had co-founded a company called SparkReel. And SparkReel was a social media technology company. And we were running a lot of user-generated content campaigns for brands like Oreo, Men's Fitness Magazine, Wired, and Verizon. So this is back in the day when a lot of brands were trying to control the social media and UGC experience on their own web properties instead of kind of playing where the customers are, which is on the platforms. Mm-hmm. And so our technology back then would sort of aggregate all of the content, make it easy to run contests in social media, and provide all the analytics. Well, while we were doing that, one of our projects led to a screen-based engagement. And while we were doing that, we thought, man, this is really cool. Like people, this isn't a rocket science insight, but people love seeing themselves on TV. And if all they have to do to see themselves on TV is use the brands or use the venue's hashtag, they'll do it and they'll do a lot of it. And so we set off to figure out how can we make this technology accessible to any small to medium-sized business, anyone in the world that already has a TV and has shareable moments happening inside of their business. And at the time when we did this, that's right when the Amazon Fire TV Stick came out, right? Mm-hmm. And that was a $39 device. And we thought, wow, well, this could be the hardware for it. It's certainly affordable. And if we can figure out how to build our software onto this, we might have something. And make a long story short, we did that. The Amazon Fire Stick was our first hardware device. And we launched in Chicago. And in our first summer, I had about 200 screens active. And 3 years later, we're nearly at 8,000 across the country, even across the world now. And some of our biggest customers are TGI Fridays, Hooters, BW3s, Crunch Fitness, Sky Zone, iFly. So a range of customers, big and small, across bars, restaurants, fitness, and entertainment.
And are you still using a Fire Stick?
We've actually graduated from the Fire Stick to the Google Chromebit. So okay. The Fire Stick being a consumer device and not exactly a business device had its limitations, and we had hacked around it and it worked pretty well. But the Google Chromebit being essentially built for digital signage is a much more powerful device, and being in the Google Cloud provides a lot more maintenance and reporting.
Yeah. So you're using the Chrome device management platform?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've had a Chromebit running in my office for like 2 years now, and the damn thing just ticks away happily. It doesn't get hot, nothing. It just, every so often I check on it and it's still doing its thing.
Yeah. It's amazing. And it's been such an upgrade for us in terms of hardware. And, you know, we'll see. We've been using it for about a year now. So once we get to, like you said, the 2 year mark, 2-3 year mark, we'll see how it's running the test of time. But our software isn't exactly super heavy that's really going to make it work its tail off to fire up and nearly explode.
Right. It's mostly just calling web services, right?
Exactly.
Okay. How is the company funded? Is this all bootstrapped by you guys?
Initially it was bootstrapped, but we've done an angel round of funding from a great group of investors. So that's how we've been funding since we got started about 3 years ago.
And if I'm a venue, I've got a chain of, you know, bars somewhere or other. How do the financials work? Am I paying you guys money? Are you paying? You're putting your hardware in there on your own nickel, or how does all that work?
Sure, great question. So it's a monthly subscription,
okay.
And the hardware is a pass-through cost. So if you need one Chromebit, you'll pay for the Chromebit, and then you'll pay anywhere from, call it, $75 to $125 per month for the subscription based off of what package you would opt in for.
Okay. And is there an ad monetization model? So in other words, are there third-party advertisers on your programming wheel?
There currently is not. And we made a conscious decision when we launched that we wanted to build a product that delivered enough value to all of our customers that they would pay for it. And they would even look at us and say, man, we should be paying more for this. Like, why are you only charging me this? And yeah. And that was our goal. And we've done that. We've proved the product market fit. We understand what the pricing is for this. Now, knowing that, we've achieved scale in a number of key verticals where advertising demand has come to us. So we have built an advertising server across the platform. We have integrated with some of the programmatic digital out-of-home networks to be able to do that. But we have not turned it on and we have not launched that yet, but we are fully capable of it.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
I would imagine if I'm a particularly a chain bar operator, I will have had you guys in and be thinking, oh, here's another one that wants to do the thing where they're going to place hardware in our location and they're going to run ads on there and I'm going to get a piece of the action. And they were very happy to have you come in because you were saying something different. But is there some antsiness that if I go back to these folks now and say, oh, by the way, now we do have an ad model, what do you think?
Yeah. So you're exactly right. So because especially since we've proven the value and these customers are paying for it and they like what it is, there's a certain level or a certain tier of customers. So someone like the national chains, they want to own 100% of the content on their screens and they'll say like zero ads ever. Like, we don't want it. We don't need it. We want to control it. But then you could have call it a network of mom and pop bars that they'd love to find every possible revenue stream they can. And if all of a sudden Upshow is not just paying for itself, but it's paying them on a monthly basis, then they're excited.
Yeah. I mean, it's I wouldn't imagine just like any of these things that it would make or break a business. But if it pays for the monthly cost of your service and a little bit more, I guess they're happy.
Right. And that's, you're exactly right. And that's the difference in that every evolution of our product, every new feature is built on generating more business value. So if like for bars, they want our product to get people to stay in their seats longer, right? And to get them to spend more and to get them to return. So if we're adding a new trivia feature, like I mentioned, okay, trivia is going to get them hooked and it might get them to stay an extra 30 minutes. While they're there 30 minutes, they might buy two more beers. And if they're number one on the leaderboard, they're going to want to defend their title and they might come back again. So you see how it's not just delivering a feature because it sounds shiny and cool. It's how is this hitting on what matters to our customers. And that's when we set off 3 years ago and we launched with a subscription fee. Like our sales pitch to our first 25 customers is very different than if our platform was ad supported, because if it's ad supported, you go in saying, oh, it's free. There's going to be some cool content and you can control some ads and you don't pay. We've never led with anything like that. We've been all about, you know, delivering the right value. And another thing we also learned is if people get something for free, they're also way less motivated to use it, to care about it, to turn it on. And so since they're paying us just a little bit, they're that much more likely to make it a core part of what's on their TVs.
Right. And you mentioned trivia and the idea that you can have games that you could just throw the controls right to somebody's smartphone.
Yep.
That would compare to companies that have bar-based trivia where you're having to buy hardware, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why we're really excited just about the whole concept of BYOD.
And it's not dissimilar to the way a lot of airlines are going in that, you know, they put in expensive IFE systems and, you know, so many people are traveling with an iPad or whatever. What's the point?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. And a lot of venues are also just costs and investment sensitive. They understand that they want their customers to have some gaming and some engagement that gets them coming or gets the kids distracted, whatever it may be, but they might not want to buy 25 hardware devices at $250 a pop or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I was intrigued by your social CRM and how that works. And it strikes me as that is as good as the enthusiasm of the bar operator, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so there's different customer types. So there's the ones that just want to be able to control what's on their screens, or the ones that they have such a social customer base that just want to showcase what's on there. But on the ones that truly dive into it and truly get it, we are providing a robust social media CRM. So our system is tracking every social media interaction that's happening inside of their venue. And then we're delivering it to the customer in a way that they can sort who are the most influential people that have posted on social media here. Who are the people that have posted the most? Maybe they don't have the most followers, but they post all the time. So that's an indication of, wow, this person comes a lot and this person sure doesn't hesitate to promote my brand. And then we give them the tools within our platform to do something about it, whether it's interacting with them on Instagram or Twitter, sending them a message, sending them a coupon, et cetera.
So in practical terms, you've got a table full of college students, and they're tweeting and Instagramming their brains out to referencing your brand. Mm-hmm. The bar manager can watch that and go, you know what, this is awesome. I'm going to send them a coupon for, half price on the next round or something like that. That's how it works?
Exactly. And so that was a perfect example. So there's two ways that our partners look at it. One is what you just said there. So kind of a dynamic reward as a thank you. Another popular way our customers use it is to drive bounce back, so return. So if you saw that group of college kids were posting like crazy, you make that a reason for them to come back. So maybe you respond to them saying, hey, show this to your server for lunch Monday through Friday to get 15% off, something like that.
I would imagine there's a lot of education that you have to do with your customers to really teach them how to use this thing and to optimize. So how do you manage that?
Yeah, well, we've got probably the best customer success team in the business, and it's been a labor of love over 3 years to understand the different customer types and how to educate them with onboarding, how to educate them in an ongoing manner, and how to just have a really simple platform and simple application so they can sort of figure it out for themselves. So the straightforward things on the platform, like moderating content, removing content, or uploading spotlight digital signage ads, that's all super simple, and they can do it from their mobile phone. The more advanced level of interaction is I think what you're getting at too, Dave, is just when it comes to customer interaction, leveraging the CRM, and really trying to do something with all the data that we're providing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God knows there's lots of retailers who say, well, we've already got all this data, but we just don't have time to do anything with it, and we don't know how to use it in any particular way. And I would imagine the same sort of thing applies here, unless you've got people who are advocates for it. It's just, they're going to have these tools, but they just kind of sit there dormant.
So that's a great insight too. And that's something we realized very quickly, in that this social CRM is awesome, but it's only as good as what you do with it. So you're exactly right. So we've also created some proactive reporting and proactive tools. So at the end of every other week or every month, depending on what you want, we'll deliver all the data to you. So you'll know who are your most influential customers that were there. You'll know who posted the most. You know the total story in terms of engagement. And then we'll just deliver all of the profiles and all the public information you need to know about those people, so you can do something about it. Or if you're not going to do anything about it, which some customers might not, we'll give you the talking points so you can sound smart when you're talking to your other business partners. Be like, wow, we had 1,700 posts that actually reached 2.5 million social media impressions this month. We make it so they're actually aware and getting savvier when it comes to communicating about social media marketing.
Mm-hmm. In the context of the digital signage stuff, are there things you've learned about the types of content that work, that resonate with viewers, versus ones that, that's just not catching fire?
Yeah. So the best is always, if it's video related, is of course always going to be the best, because it grabs your attention. So it could be video, and that you produce a short YouTube video, like a lot of bar partners will just, especially since the iPhone's video camera is so strong now, they'll record a quick video and do a fast loop of making a margarita. And then all of a sudden, if that's on the screen, guess who's thirsty for margaritas? Everybody that sees that video. Or they'll use the fun tools like Instagram video or the Vines of the world to add some content to the screen that's eye-catching. But the simplest way a lot of customers do it is, because most of our partners don't sit in front of a computer like I do all day long and they're on their phones. So we have a whole library of templates that they can leverage to choose a background, add some text, really customize it and put it to the screen. And the practical example of this is, say you're the manager at a Hooters and the, you know, the local T-ball team, you know, is there celebrating their championship. Well, the manager could just pull out his phone, choose the baseball themed background, say, "Congratulations, Tigers, on your championship." And all of a sudden that is on all the TVs right there. Now that creates a cool moment. And that's so many of these kind of restaurant chains are looking to connect in a community and hyper local way. That's a special moment that they can create in just 2 minutes of pulling out their phone.
Mm-hmm. So when you're working with the larger restaurant brands like a TGI Fridays or Hooters or so on, are you having to win them franchise operator by franchise operator, or do you have like master agreements?
You know the game, Dave. So it depends on the franchise, really. So sometimes it's bottoms up, sometimes it's top down, depending on the franchise and the structure. And we've done both.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure you're pretty happy if it's top down, right?
Yeah.
It's just a lot less footwork.
You know, there's pros and cons to each. Like, so that can be for faster distribution when it's top down, but bottoms up, you might have more buy-in because the franchisee is making the buying decision versus corporate telling you to do it.
Right. And I would imagine there are times you've got, from the bottom up, you've got some operators who become cheerleaders for you and try to sell this up the chain.
That's exactly it. And that helps because you find the right influential franchisees and they become true advocates. And then after that, you try to get it so everybody else wants to follow what they're doing. So it's find that pioneering advocate and then latch on, drive amazing success for them and try to climb the chain.
What you're doing is, you know, it's a variety of things. It's really a web-based service. Did you guys look at all at the digital signage marketplace and think about whether you needed to integrate with existing digital signage software platforms, or just decided, you know what, with what we need to do, we can just stay on our own path?
Yeah, right away we knew we were going to build it on our own. We've got a really strong development team that when we, like I mentioned 3 years ago, saw the opportunity and the challenge to build it, we've been building it on our own and built the entire software platform on our own since then. And when it comes to just sort of partnerships integration, usually it's just what are the third party apps that make sense to integrate within our infrastructure.
And when you're doing, let's say I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you guys are in Chicago, and I say, okay, mm-hmm. I'm in. Is it really just as simple as you guys FedExing or UPSing or whatever, a set of Chrome bits out, and you tell them, plug me into the HDMI slot and get internet and off you go?
Yeah, and it's actually even easier than that because we program your Wi-Fi information into that specific Chrome bit. So all you have to do when the package, the Upshow box arrives, you open it up, you plug it into the TV, you power it, boom, you're done. Everything else is just managed from the cloud on your phone or on your computer control panel.
And there's enough information off the Chrome device management panel for you to know what's going on to remedy problems if there are problems in the field and so on?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we proactively know if there is an issue or a problem. And so we can call a customer before they might not have even noticed because our using the Chrome bit is really helpful in that we have a smart cache on it as well. So if you've got, you know, Dave's Tacos is an Upshow partner, you might have run out of internet for 35 minutes and you didn't know, your customers didn't know, and you wouldn't even notice a difference on your Upshow screen because it's going to run from cache content. And then when the internet picks right back up, it's going to go pick up right where the Upshow program should have been. Hmm. While that's all happening, Google would have told us, Dave's Tacos is offline, something's up, you should contact him, and then we will.
Hmm. So you would actually quite possibly be one of the largest Google signage-driven networks out there.
That's a fact, yep.
That's what they tell you?
I'd like to know who's buying more Google Chrome bits than we are, yes.
Maybe Coca-Cola, but...
That's actually, when I've said that, that's people in the know, that's the answer, yeah.
Coca-Cola or Toyota in Europe, those are the three I think about that are out there in any kind of scale.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into a venue like a TGI Friday or whatever, are you competing with other services?
So it depends on the venue type. If it's in a bar setting, sometimes they might have a beer menu type of a service, right? And what we've done there is we've just integrated. So if they've got a beer menu third-party app, we've partnered with all the ones out there, and they can just integrate it into the Upshow programming. So the bars love that. So they don't have to dedicate, you know, TVs for up show, TVs for menus, and then TVs for whatever local sports team is playing. They can consolidate it easily.
Oh, okay. So if you've got some web-based service that has craft beer menus and lists the specific gravity and all that stuff that I don't understand, they would normally have to have a separate service that would do that. And with this, you just roll into Upshow?
Yep. It becomes just a total, that's what we call it, the social TV platform, because it can integrate whatever our customers want to be on their screens. And in the bar world, of course, we're in conjunction with cable TV, because a bar is never going to get rid of cable because they need to show sports. Mm-hmm. But outside of bars, whether it's the fast casual restaurants, or it's entertainment centers, or it's even like doctor's offices, those types of venues are actually looking at us as a cable replacement, because it's more cost effective. They have total control. And a lot of venues are saying, haven't changed the channel off of the Cartoon Network in 2 years. So yeah, we'd love to do something different.
Yeah, they just they put screens in and they look around and go, okay, now what do we put on them?
Exactly. So we're trying to change that.
So you were at the Bar Nightclub Show, which ran concurrent with Digital Signage Expo. What are you hearing from that marketplace, from that tribe, when they were still sober?
Yeah. So in the first half of each of the days
before 2 o'clock.
Yeah, so they're all drawn, just the buzzwords of total control is what they love, because it's the shiny object of our platform, of course, is the social media engagement, because they see they have their customers that are there having some beers and they pull out their phones and they're capturing content. They know that they're taking pictures, but the biggest thing is they're not always posting those photos. They're not always posting those photos and hashtagging or geotagging where they are. So with Upshow, not only do we give people a reason to take pictures, we give people a reason to actually document where they are via the hashtag or the geotag. So they love that, and that it becomes a word of mouth marketing engine. But the other thing that was a big buzz generator for us this year at the show was our trivia platform, because everyone in that world is very familiar with all the trivia options. And when we do the trivia demo, and I can even send one to you, Dave, people see how it takes you less than 30 seconds to get in the game and start playing. And then as soon as you're playing, your competitive juices just turn up and you want to win. And we've got libraries for everything, whether it's sports, pop culture, movies, science, what you name it. Mm. We've got a library for it. And it just becomes another addictive reason for people to look up at the screen and for people to just pass time when they're at the venue.
So last question, where do you think you're going to be a year from now in terms of footprint and the service offer?
Yeah, footprint. I'd like to have over 20,000 screens active across the globe. So we're expanding beyond the United States, which is exciting. And then from our offer, I want the social TV platform to grow. Like right now, like I said, there's customer engagement, digital signage, entertainment, and games. But we're looking to build an Upshow apps ecosystem where third-party developers can get in the game and actually create cool applications, games, whatever it may be. Because as our network grows, for the same reason, advertising is a realistic play, because we're going to have such scale inside of exciting venues. The same goes for different developers looking to have a big audience of driving fun games and interaction on TV screens inside of social venues.
So you've got an API that developers can work with?
We are working on it right now.
Okay, so that's coming in the next year.
Exactly.
Okay. Matt, really, really interesting stuff. Happy we had a chance to chat.
Thanks so much, Dave. Really enjoyed it.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 The Blog and now the podcasts are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.